The Odyssey by Homer, narrated by Peter Coates. Book 1. In a council of the gods, Minerva calls their attention to Ulysses, still a wanderer. They resolve to grant him a safe return to Ithaca. Minerva descends to encourage Telemachus, and in the form of Mentes directs him in what manner to proceed. Throughout this book, the extravagance and profligacy of the suitors are occasionally suggested. Muse, make the man thy theme, for shrewdness famed and genius versatile, who far and wide a wanderer, after Ilium overthrown, discovered various cities, and the mind and manners learned of men in lands remote. His numerous woes on ocean tossed endured, anxious to save himself and to conduct his followers to their home, yet all his care preserved them not. They perished self-destroyed by their own fault. Infatuate, who devoured the oxen of the all-o'erseeing sun, and punished for that crime, returned no more. Daughter divine of Jove, these things record, as it may please thee even in our ears. The rest, all those who had perdition scaped, by war or on the deep, dwelt now at home. Him only of his country and his wife, alike desirous, in her hollow grots, Calypso, goddess beautiful, detained wooing him to her arms. But when, at length, many a long year elapsed, the year arrived of his return, by the decree of heaven, to Ithaca, not even then had he, although surrounded by his people, reached the period of his sufferings and his toils. Yet all the gods, with pity moved, beheld his woes, save Neptune. He alone, with wrath unceasing and implacable, pursued godlike Ulysses to his native shores. But Neptune now the Ethiopians fought, the Ethiopians, utmost of mankind, these eastward situate, those toward the west, called to an hecatomb of bulls and lambs. There sitting, pleased he banqueted. The gods in Jove's abode meantime assembled all, midst whom the sire of heaven and earth began. For he recalled to mind Aegisthus, slain by Agamemnon's celebrated son Orestes, and retracing in his thought that dread event, the immortals thus addressed: "Alas, how prone are humankind to blame the powers of heaven! From us, they say, proceed the ills which they endure, yet more than fate herself inflicts, by their own crimes incur. So now, Aegisthus, by no force constrained of destiny, Atreides' wedded wife took to himself, and him at his return slew, not unwarned of his own dreadful end by us. For we commanded Hermes down the watchful Argicide, who bade him fear alike to slay the king or woo the queen. For that Atreides' son Orestes, soon as grown mature, and eager to assume his sway imperial, should avenge the deed." So Hermes spake, but his advice moved not Aegisthus, on whose head the whole arrear of vengeance heaped. At last hath therefore fallen. Whom answered then Pallas cerulean-eyed? "O Jove, Saturnian sire, o'er all supreme, and well he merited the death he found. So perish all who shall like him offend. But with a bosom anguish rent I view Ulysses, hapless chief, who from his friends remote affliction hath long time endured in yonder woodland isle, the central boss of ocean. That retreat a goddess holds, daughter of sapient Atlas, who the abyss knows to its bottom, and the pillars high himself upbears, which separate earth from heaven. His daughter there the sorrowing chief detains, and ever with smooth speech insidious seeks to wean his heart from Ithaca. Meantime Ulysses, happy might he but behold the smoke ascending from his native land, death covets. Canst thou not, Olympian Jove, At last relent! Hath not Ulysses oft, with victims slain amid Achaia's fleet, thee gratified, while yet at Troy he fought? How hath he then so deep incensed thee, Jove? To whom the cloud-assembler god replied, What word hath passed thy lips, daughter beloved? Can I forget Ulysses? Him forget, so noble, who in wisdom all mankind excels, and who hath sacrificed so oft to us, whose dwelling is the boundless heaven? Earth-circling Neptune, he it is whose wrath pursues him ceaseless for the Cyclops' sake. Polypheme, strongest of the giant race, whom of his eye Ulysses hath deprived. For him Thoosa bore, nymph of the sea from Phorcys sprung, by ocean's mighty power, impregnated in caverns of the deep. Ere since that day, the shaker of the shores, although he slay him not, yet devious drives Ulysses from his native isle afar. Yet come, in full assembly his return contrive we now, both means and prosperous end. So Neptune shall his wrath remit, whose power in contest with the force of all the gods exerted single, but can strive in vain. To whom Minerva, goddess azure-eyed, O Jupiter, above all kings enthroned, if the immortals ever blessed ordain that wise Ulysses to his home return, dispatch we then Hermes the Argicide, our messenger hence to Ogygia's isle, who shall inform Calypso, nymph divine, of this our fixed resolve, that to his home Ulysses' toil-enduring chief repair. Myself will hence to Ithaca, meantime his son to animate, and with new force inspire, that, the Aeacians all convened in council, he may instant bid depart the suitors from his home, who day by day his numerous flocks and fatted herds consume. And I will send him thence to Sparta forth, and into sandy Pylos, there to hear, if hear he may, some tidings of his sire, and to procure himself a glorious name. This said, her golden sandals to her feet she bound, ambrosial, which o'er all the earth and o'er the moist flood waft her feet as air. Then, seizing her strong spear pointed with brass, in length and bulk and weight a matchless beam, with which the Jove-born goddess levels ranks of heroes, against whom her anger burns, from the Olympian summit down she flew, and on the threshold of Ulysses' hall in Ithaca, and within his vestibule apparent stood. There, grasping her bright spear, Mentes she seemed, the hospitable chief of Taphos Isle, she found the haughty throng, the suitors. They before the palace gate with ivory cubes sported, on numerous hides reclined of oxen which themselves had slain. The heralds and the busy menials there ministered to them. These their mantling cups with water slaked, with bibulous sponges those made clean the tables, set the banquet on, and portioned out each his plenteous share. Long ere the rest, Telemachus himself marked her, for sad amid them all he sat, portraying in deep thought contemplative his noble sire, and questioning if yet perchance the hero might return, to chase from all his palace that imperious herd, to his own honour, lord of his own home. Amid them, musing thus, sudden he saw the goddess, and sprang forth, for he abhorred to see a guest's admittance long delayed. Approaching eager, her right hand he seized, the brazen spear took from her, and in words with welcome winged Minerva thus addressed. Stranger, all hail! To share our cordial love thou comest. The banquet finished, thou shalt next inform me wherefore thou hast here arrived. So saying, toward the spacious hall he moved, followed by Pallas, and arriving soon beneath the lofty roof, placed her bright spear within a pillar's cavity. Long time the armoury where many a spear has stood, bright weapons of his own illustrious sire. Then, leading her toward a footstooled throne, magnificent, which first he overspread with linen, there he seated her,